Rapids, 1320 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
Your hometown news talk and sports station is locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Matt Piper in New York. On the other side of the world, the Israeli parliament is about to vote on the first part of a controversial overhaul to the judicial system.
Tens of thousands of Israelis who marched on Jerusalem from around the country continued their protests for a fourth straight day. And a similar number in Tel Aviv demonstrated in favor of the bill. A leading business forum in Israel, including banks and mall chains, announced a strike, and more than 10,000 army reservists say they will not show up for voluntary reserve duty if it passes. Linda Gradstein for CBS News, Jerusalem.
And late word that Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu has been released from the hospital following a pacemaker operation just in time for that vote. Back here, the Department of Justice is threatening to sue Texas over anti-migration efforts like barriers floating in the Rio Grande River. Texas Republican Congressman Tony Gonzalez talked to Face the Nation.
The buoys are one step. I think you're seeing how desperate a situation is happening in Texas. But what I'm seeing is people are getting injured along the border. People are drowning, certainly in that river. I would much rather see not one person step foot in that river.
Ohio State Police body cam video shows a local officer releasing a canine to attack a suspect who was surrendering after a 30-minute car chase. State troopers yelled at the officer not to do it. WOIO TV reporter Jim Nelson.
We have heard from the Ohio State Highway Patrol, a quote directly from OSHP reads, as troopers were attempting to gain compliance by providing verbal commands to the suspect, the Circleville Police Department deployed their canine, which resulted in the suspect being bitten.
Dozens of people at a Billings, Montana golf club fell 12 feet to the ground when the floor of an outside deck collapsed. Esther Jensen was at the Briarwood Country Club when it happened.
We rushed to the window and we just saw everyone on the ground, you know, bleeding. Everything was just right there. And then we were worried about the rest of the building collapsing, honestly.
No accidents at the British Open, where Brian Harman took home his first major championship trophy.
To come out and put a performance like that together, like start to finish, you know, just had a lot of control. I don't know why this week, but I'm very thankful that it was this week.
The 36-year-old finished the Open 13 under par. Well, this little guy is named Willie, but the goat has been missing since July 15th. And residents of the small South Texas town are using everything from horses and ATVs to try and find the missing animal. Willie escaped from a youth rodeo. Businesses have even donated more than $5,000 worth of gifts as a reward to whoever finds Willie. This is CBS News.
Find great hires fast with Indeed. Their end-to-end hiring solution makes it easy to attract, interview, and hire candidates all in the same place. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
We're going abroad for the first time in years. To Spain. So we started using Babbel.
And started learning Spanish fast.
With Babbel, you can start having conversations in another language in just 3 weeks.
¿Cómo te llamas?
¿Cómo te llamas?
When you learn a language, you want to actually use it. Babbel is designed with that goal in mind.
In just 3 weeks, we're starting to have conversations in Spanish. Gracias, Babbel.
Babbel, language for life. Now try Babbel for free at Babbel.com. That's Babbel.com.
Military veterans and active duty service members, you could become a certified cyber warrior with just 12 weeks of training at My Computer Career. Cybersecurity specialists are in high demand, and IT pros with these skills often enjoy abundant opportunity and a great lifestyle. Protect our people, liberty, and treasured institutions from cyber threats. GI Bill, SkillBridge, and other VA benefits are available to those who qualify. Learn more at mycomputercareer.edu/CWP. That's mycomputercareer.edu/CWP.
Saturdays at 1, don't miss Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, featuring legendary Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Football, life, and fun.
Earl, you've been driving a Yugo. They just gave you a brand new Ferrari with turbo boost. So enjoy it, brother.
Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Saturdays at 1 on the Civic Media Network and on the Civic Media app.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR.
Lows dip down to about 56 overnight under mainly clear skies, northeast winds around 5 miles per hour. Scattered thunderstorms likely tomorrow. Highs level off around 88. Sunshine mixed with clouds at times. Slight chance for scattered thunderstorms again. Tomorrow night, lows dip down to about 61. Partly cloudy skies. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 60.
From Wisconsin Rapids to Stevens Point, your news, talk, and sports is 97.5 FM, locally grown radio.
Voting machines are no good on the air, but in the background, he's going, this is insane. This is a load of bull. The guy lies for a living. He lies with a straight face.
Matt Flynn Direct, weekday afternoons from 3 until 4 on the Civic Media Network and on the Civic Media app. Direct from the Dairy State, it's Sharp Cheddar Weekends, a three-hour block of Wisconsin-produced radio, Saturdays and Sundays from 11 a.m. till 2 p.m., featuring Raised in Wisco with Joel Clayfish and Danielle Fairman, The Cripes Cast with Charlie Behrens, and Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, Gilbert Brown. You can enjoy it by the slice or enjoy the whole darn thing. Sharp Cheddar Weekends is radio so fresh, it squeaks. Listen in on the Civic Media station or on the app.
Who's the most fun to drink with of the Republican lawmakers? Todd also confirmed that Robin Voss has virtually no sense of humor.
You can always let us know if you are drinking with lawmakers at 844-967-2789.
Moving Wisconsin forward, one joke at a time, this is Kristen Bry with As Goes Wisconsin.
Yada, yada, yada.
Hello, Wisconsin!
Should the Supreme Court adopt a code of conduct? And if yes, who should create it? 844-967-2789. What do you think? I mean,
everybody else has them.
Everybody else has them. The lower courts has them. And not because, and this is not necessarily because you think of what's been happening lately and the ProPublica reports and everything, but just in general, even if it was a liberal-dominated court, because there has been cases of liberal justices, including Ruth Bader Ginsburg.
Oh, yeah.
RIP. And even recently, Sotomayor.
Taking little gifties.
And would it restore the integrity of the court and public opinion if there was more transparency, if there was clarity? And if you agree with that, who should create it? Should they create it themselves? Should retired justices make it? Should Congress make it? Congress is attempting to make it right now. I don't think it's going to go very far, but the Democratic-led Senate Judiciary Committee advanced legislation yesterday to require the Supreme Court to set up a code of conduct, tighten financial disclosures, and bolster recusal requirements for justices. And so, again, would love to hear from you on your thoughts on what's to be done with the lack of code of ethics that is written and transparent and clear. 844-967-2789. That's 844-96-PARTY. But yesterday, the vote on the Supreme Court Ethics Recusal and Transparency Act was, not shockingly, 11-10 along party lines, and with Republicans adamantly opposing. And the bill would basically give the court 180 days to adopt and publish a code of conduct and allow the public to submit ethics complaints that randomly selected panels of lower court judges would review. It would establish new rules for disclosure of gifts and travel, and it would impose recusal rules pertaining to gifts, income, and other potential conflicts. Now, there's obviously, in this partisan environment, Republicans are basically saying, absolutely not.
Yeah.
Because in this, even though it came out of committee, they would need, Democrats would need 9 more Republicans to sign on to overcome the filibuster. And even if they did that, this would have to get through the House.
Oh, that'll never happen.
So this is, I think, what did I see as the, there was a great quote from what I was reading about this. Senator John Kennedy, Republican from Louisiana, predicted the bill would not become law. This thing's dead as fried chicken on the Senate floor, he said, and it's as dead as fried chicken in the House. I didn't know if that's a Louisiana saying, but okay.
Nice accent attempt there. 844-967-2789, 844-96-PARTY. Dave from Mequon, good morning, Dave. What do you think?
Hey, good morning. I agree with both of you. I think the more transparency, the better. I do think that it should apply to all facets of our government. I mean, if you look at Congress and all the, kind of like shady, stock end of things and, kind of like little tips and things, you got that going on. And as far as Sotomayor, I didn't realize she almost made almost $4 million on the books that, that she had her, the people working for, pushing the universities to buy these books and what have you. And that's fine as long as it's declared. I mean, but I think it's important, though, to your point, that we have that out in the open, because a lot of people in Congress and they're extremely wealthy. They're in the 1%.
Mm-hmm.
If you look at the amount of percentage of the people in Congress and in the Senate, they're in the 1%. It's like way overkill. And there's a reason for that. And it's because there's a lot of what I would call, things that are not reported that are, happening. And, Tom in L.A. always calls, we got to get money out of politics. And I agree with him. But if we're not going to do that, then we need to really see the full scope of what the heck is going on in our government, top to bottom.
Totally. I actually totally agree, Dave. Thanks so much for the call.
Thanks, Dave.
Because I think there's a really great op-ed / interview with a former judge named Jeremy Fogel, who is the executive director of Berkeley Judicial Institute, and he was a California state judge for a long time. In the Washington Post, and I was reading it this morning as I kind of was trying to, tangle with where am I on this?
Sure.
And, he says along the lines of something like, it's not that he thinks this court is unethical, but it's the fact that in this, this was the quote. He said, you had an institution that was very highly respected, the most highly respected institution of government. And now those numbers have just been dropping like a rock. And I think it's a combination of polarizing social issues that are being decided by the court because Congress is not able to act in that area, and social media. So you have a lot more light shined on the court, perhaps, than there's ever been before. When you have this kind of polarized political environment and you don't have transparent rules, which they don't have, then what people do is say, oh, well, Justice X or Justice Y voted the way he or she did because they were flying in people's private airplanes or people bought their books. And I think that's really unfortunate because I think it makes people think that justices don't have any ethical integrity. They need more transparency, more clarity, a common set of rules and procedures. As long as they don't, they are going to have people who are going to question. And I think that's basically what's happened, right?
It's
these are the cases that have been coming from the courts that have such monumental consequences on so many people, and any iota of impropriety has the people who are on the other side of their decisions saying it makes it very easy for them to say, well, you got paid off.
Exactly. You just make yourself look worse.
And so it's not even a punitive thing. And I guess, that's where it becomes is Congress the right people to sign this, to actually impose this or not? But it's even for your own, for the sake of your own entity, government entity, don't you want the public to trust you?
Or do they just not care? They don't care. It's like, hey, we're here. We're here for, we're here for a lifetime term. Too bad.
We're so sad. We're just here. 844-967-2789. Should the Supreme Court have a code of conduct? And if so, who should write it? Which body should write it? Should they write it themselves? And just as long as it's clear, that's enough. Is it from Congress? 844-967-2789.
I think the prospect of allowing them to write their own code of ethics is hilarious. I really do. Let's let felons write their own codes for their paroles. I just, you have to have some kind of an independent body to make those decisions. Yeah, we'll make our own rules about us. And we love us, and we're great.
But also, I mean, not that I'm defending them, because I don't know what they would come up with, but if the good faith of to do this is to improve their status, improve public opinion on them, if they came up with a total BS set of the code of, like, BS code of conduct, they'd still get pushback and it wouldn't actually help their cause. And so I do ultimately think, as much as, you know, it's easy to characterize or, like, make these people into caricatures of, like, how good or bad they are, ultimately, like, I do think they have some ethics and integrity. Jane's not so sure.
That's because you're such a nice, kind, hopeful person. Text from the 541. Get a group of 102 individuals not employed by any state or federal agency to review existing codes and create new ones. Each governor can appoint one person. Mayor of the capital city appoints the second for each state plus D.C. Or how about a single code of conduct for all federal employees? Contract, legislative, judicial, executive, drawing for a federal paycheck. If your representative senator wants that for the other party but not for themselves, what could they be hiding? And Bill from Oconomowoc is coming up. Bill, we got about 2 minutes left. What do you want to say?
Real quick. We can't let criminals run criminals. Now, the Supreme Court, I don't know if I call it criminal, but boy, it's siding that way. They're taking bribes. They're taking money. And your text that you mentioned, civilian review board by civilians, that's balanced. In other words, you need 50-50. You need both sides' opinion to write the rules of conduct. And the first rule of conduct would be you can't be under suspicion for any criminal activity or any charges that are pending that voids you from ever running for office for your life. We have to have non-criminals involved in government. We have too many criminals in government, and they get so far as to run their own kangaroo court. Jim Jordan, perfect example, outstanding subpoena. So anyhow, thanks for letting me rant, and you guys have a great weekend.
You have a great weekend, Bill.
And you can call and rant, Bill.
Anytime. We will always take your call.
844-967-2789.
Kangaroo court. I feel like that's something that I have to bring back and use more. It's a good term.
It is a good term.
But we would love to hear from you. Should the Supreme Court adopt a code of conduct? And if so, which body should be in charge of writing it and being the oversight of it? 844-967-2789. We have a couple of comments on the live stream that we'll read when we come back. We'll get to your text and your calls right after the break. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
In other words. I love you.
From the hometown of NASCAR's Dick Trickle, locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM, your news talk and sports station.
Starting at 6 a.m., Up North News, 8 to 10, The Earl Ingram Show. Mondays, 8 to 9, Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. 10 to 12, As Goes Wisconsin. At noon, Civic Media Network News. At 12:15, Town Call. 1 to 3, The Todd Alba Show. 3 to 4, Matt Flynn Direct. 4 to 6, The Devil's Advocates with Don McCrute. And 6 to 7, The Maggie Dawn Show on 540 AM WAUK.
As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
What if I just, instead of giving out the talk and text line, just started giving up Robin Voss's number all the time?
He needs to hear from us. He needs to know.
It's 844-96-PARTY. What is it?
Write it down. 608-237-9163. Call now.
As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry and Jane Mattinair. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Hey, Dan Kelly, you went around the state saying there had been fraud and the election should be overturned. You did that. You took $120,000 in pay from the Republican Party, not in a donation, pay. The most recent payment was in December, and we don't know if you're still being paid. And you've been endorsed by some of the biggest election deniers in the state. And you're shying to me with, I don't know how I rule. I know how you'd rule. I know how you'd rule.
Matt Flynn Direct, weekday afternoons from 3 until 4 on the Civic Media Network and on the Civic Media app.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Lows dip down to about 62 overnight under mainly clear skies. Westerly winds around 5 miles an hour. Highs level off around 87 tomorrow. A blend of clouds and sun. Scattered thunderstorms likely tomorrow night. Lows around 64. Partly cloudy. Partly cloudy Tuesday with highs in the upper 80s. Chance for scattered storms Wednesday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 63 degrees.
This summer, 540 AM WAUK has a new lineup. 4 to 6, The Devil's Advocates with Dom and Crew. 6 to 7, The Maggie Dawn Show on 540 AM WAUK.
It don't mean a thing if it ain't got that swing. Do what, 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 do what.
No, it don't mean a thing. All you gotta do is swing.
Well, welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I'm Kristen Bry. She is Jane Mattinair. And we are talking about a code of conduct for the Supreme Court, whether or not they should have one. And I think a lot of people in the abstract think that they should.
I think a lot of people assumed that they already did.
Yeah. I think when it gets to the partisan nature of the rulings that have been coming down, there is a protective nature over what you're attacking. And if you're attacking the conservative justices versus the concept in general that every justice should apply, the same rules should apply to everyone.
Yes, all of them. Liberal, conservative, whatever.
But I would say, so the problem becomes, if we can all agree that they should have one, who should actually write it? And the Senate Democrats are taking charge or have taken charge and passed their bill on this through committee, the Supreme Court Ethics Recusal and Transparency Act.
Oh, that just flows right off the...
Well, it doesn't have a great acronym, like the the Dairy Pride Act or right. the CURD Act.
Right.
But, you know, I think we can probably guess this is fairly DOA, considering the hurdles it would have to... the bipartisan hurdles it would have to go through, and the left and right are very much not on the same side right now. But it still feels like, for the sake of the court and their legitimacy, they got to do something, right?
I think for the ones who have been there for a long time, they really think they're above it all. They do.
And it's interesting, in that same op-ed that I said from Washington Post, that was an interview with Jeremy Fogel, he had this to say about the lower courts. And I thought this was interesting. And it's also interesting, I think, when he talked specifically or mentioned Kagan, who came up through the lower courts. But he said, if you're a lower court judge in the federal system, or if you're a state court judge at any level, including the Supreme Courts in the states, you have rules you have to follow. And those rules actually cause people to feel restricted in the things they can and cannot do. And people complain about it. And he talks about how he had it when he was in the 1980s, and he used to teach ethics classes and to new judges. And they said, really, I can't support my friend Charlie for the school board. I can't go to this event. And he said, what happens to the lower court judges on every level, including in the federal courts, is that they learn to live with those limitations. And there is a perception among them that the justices don't feel the same constraints. There's a widespread perception that they don't feel those constraints. I want to be clear. I don't think the justices are unethical. I think the justices need to make a statement that the ethics are important. Because he said, I mean, because he was a judge for so long, and that he said, he's like, it's not that, like, I was never asked because everyone knew that I couldn't say yes in those lower courts as far as, like, flying on people's private jets. Like, I was never asked to go do these things because it was very clear of what the limitations were.
Right.
And so it's like, if there was limitations on the Supreme Court, would they just not be asked? Because I don't think that, like, it's like, you can't just live in a bubble. Like, those nine people can't just live in isolation. But if there's no line in the sand, can't you always point to, well, look who you're hanging out with?
Well, and I mean, Harlan Crowe has been helping out Clarence Thomas for decades.
Yeah. Well, maybe basically since he got in the court.
Pretty much. And again, I just think there is no attitude for change among those nine. Life is good, baby. Life is good. Why would I screw up this gig?
Because you don't think that they're called to, by the time you get to the Supreme Court, you don't think they're called to by some kind of higher ethical standard or integrity. You think that they're actually just like the lowest among us as far as their...
They're still humans.
I know, but think about how many humans you know who have a code of ethics and they're on their own of what they will or will not do without payment.
But they're not getting offered to go on $500,000 cruises to Tahiti from their, you know, somebody they're doing business with. I don't think that they're superior human beings, even though the name says supreme.
I don't think they're superior human beings, but I also don't think they're the lowest among us. And I know plenty of people who have a lot of integrity who would say no without, like, who would say no because of just what their morals are.
But again, you are a kind, hopeful, optimistic person.
But so you're saying that I am the exception. And that the fact that, like, my assumption of other people and that there is lots of good people out there is the exception and not the rule.
Yes.
Okay.
Tragically.
We'll agree to disagree.
Oh, that's fine. I wish I could be more like you. I do. I wish I could believe more. I just, at this age, I just don't.
I mean, it just goes back to what it was this week. We were talking about Hanlon's razor. And the never attribute to malice, which can adequately which can adequately be explained by stupidity.
Stupidity, yeah.
So I don't know. It was also interesting to round out this topic because when we come back from the break, Dominic Salvia from the Devil's Advocates is going to be here for a roundup of the week. But oh God, where is it? Now I have to find it. But basically, you know. Once again, in the same way that we talk about bipartisan bills that actually get passed that never get any attention, as a reminder, in this court right now, only 9% of the court's 57 cases this term came down to a 6-3 ideological split. 45% of the court's decisions were unanimous.
Wow.
16% were decided by a majority coalition of three liberal justices joined by Republican-appointed justices. And this one, Justice Brett Kavanaugh sided with Democratic-appointed Elena Kagan more than he did with Clarence Thomas, an 81% to 61%.
Wow.
So this is not like every case that's coming out is just 6-3 and that everything's one-sided. I think there is more gray, per usual, than them just trying to get away with whatever they want to get away with. But we can agree to disagree, Jane.
That works for me.
All right. When we come back, Dom Salvia will be here. And he's going to tell us what the best, the worst, and the weirdest of this week were. Stick around. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
This summer, 540 AM WAU.
Stop surfing the dial. You've found the greatest station ever. Locally grown radio 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Locally grown 1320 AM and 97.5 FM WFHR programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios.
Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
What I know about courage, I learned from my adoptive mom.
She said sometimes you just gotta hold on and know we'll get through this.
Mom, we are so high up. Hold my hand.
No, you hold my hand.
Here we go.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more.
I learned patience from my adoptive dad. All he had to say was,
"Hey, you got this. Just breathe." Hey. Hey, we're pretty good.
Yeah.
Might have to start a band.
I got it.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more. This message is brought to you by AdoptUSKids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
And we're live here outside the Perez family home just waiting for the... And there they go! Almost on time this morning. Mom is coming out the front door strong with a double-arm kid carry. Looks like Dad has the bags. Daughter is bringing up the rear. Oh, but the diaper bag wasn't closed. Diapers and toys are everywhere. Ooh, but Mom has just nailed the perfect car seat buckle for the toddler. And now the eldest daughter, who looks to be about 9 or 10, has secured herself in the booster seat. Dad zips the bag closed, and they're off. Ah, but looks like Mom doesn't realize her coffee cup is still on the roof of the car. And there it goes. Oh, that's a shame. That mug was a fam favorite.
Don't sweat the small stuff. Just nail the big stuff. Like making sure your kids are buckled correctly in the right seat for their age and size. Learn more at nhtsa.gov/the right seat.
Visit nhtsa.gov/the right seat.
Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
If you came across someone struggling with hunger, how would you recognize them? By their clothes? Their age? The way they speak? Would you notice an 8-year-old girl who's not excited for summer break?
Because she may not be having lunch again until September?
Or a single father of two who works three part-time jobs and still can't put enough food on the table? Or maybe a mother who cleans offices at night,
hoping to find meeting leftovers to take home to her hungry family?
Or a war veteran who's having a hard time
landing a job and getting back on his feet?
I am the one in 8 Americans who struggle with hunger. People you pass by every day but never knew were hungry. I am hunger in America.
Hunger can be hard to recognize. Learn why at IamHungerInAmerica.org. Brought to you by Feeding America, 200 Food Banks Strong, and the Ad Council.
Bug Tussle, providing high-speed internet to rural Wisconsin. No data caps, no contracts. 877-227-0924. Call today to learn how you can get 3 months free. 877-227-0924.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Lows dip down to about 56 overnight under mainly clear skies, northeast winds around 5 miles per hour. Scattered thunderstorms likely tomorrow. Highs level off around 88. Sunshine mixed with clouds at times. Slight chance for scattered thunderstorms again tomorrow night. Lows dip down to about 61. Partly cloudy skies. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 60.
People, come to talk.
Missed the Saturday dance. Heard they crowded the floor. Couldn't bear it without you. Don't get around much anymore.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Madnair, and it is time for our Friday Civic Media crossover with another host on the Civic Media Network. And this week, we are welcoming in studio Dominic Salvia, one of the devils, one half of the devil's advocates, is here
the
in
better
person,
half.
The better half. I think, yeah, we'll say that. We'll go with that. Twist our arm.
Sure. Kristen and Jane, great to see you both. Thank you for the invite. I appreciate it. So it's so much fun when we get together. But can I chime in on the last conversation just a moment?
Oh, we were just talking about?
Yeah,
the
Supreme
ethics?
Court.
Yeah.
So I was driving, I was listening to hear what you had going on. And to me, the question is, why should the Supreme Court not adopt the current federal judiciary ethics code?
Yeah.
That's the only question. You know what I'm saying? hey, everyone else has it. You agree that everyone else should have it. What is it about you that you don't think you should have the same thing? And just let's hear the answer to that.
Because they haven't, as far as I know, they have not answered that yet.
Because they think they're supreme.
They think they're supreme. Well, but they're that's not supremes. Really an answer. Like, what is it about the current federal judiciary ethics, you know, limitations that applies to everybody else on the states? And, you know, like, everyone has their own thing. What is it about you? What is it about the Supreme Court that thinks beyond that you're supreme? Of course, that's a very general response. But, like, detail, what is it? I mean, if you think it's okay to accept $500,000 trips, well, then to me, why are you not accepting bags of cash? I mean, what is the limitation? If that's okay, then there is zero limitation.
But it's also interesting that, like, where was the decision when, like, the code of ethics for the rest of all of the lower courts, yeah. They're like, we're not going to do it for them. And was the, like, kind of lofty ideological reason, like, well, they're above, like,
yeah,
of
right.
course, because they
as,
are the Supreme
James
Court.
Says, right.
Like, but not because they themselves are saying it, but because that was the assumption of... I don't know, because I don't even know the history of when the code of ethics for everyone else got in, like,
right.
put into place,
right.
and who decided that much.
And whatever that is, and we should know these things. We don't. There's lots of things to know.
Lots of things to not, yeah.
But why, if that would be the case, why not follow that same process? Whatever it was. You know what I'm saying? We have codes of ethics for everything else, and there's reasons for it, and there were processes and how they got there. You could just use the same processes and reasoning and apply it to the Supreme Court.
I agree.
Because if it doesn't need to be applied to the Supreme Court, then why does it need to be applied to and enforced on
lower courts? Yeah. No,
I'm just asking questions here. You know what I'm saying?
Just asking questions. Just answer questions.
Yeah. Yeah, you know who I'm talking
and
about.
Many people are saying, but anyway.
All right. Well.
All right, so thank you for that.
Yes. No. It's great to get your opinion on it. I'm sure you guys have talked about this a fair amount on Devil's Advocates, which yep. you can listen to anytime across the Civic Media Network or any day of the week, I should say, between 4 and 6 p.m. So I'm excited to hear this. What's been so fun about this segment since we started it in June, so this is like our sixth week of doing it, is asking each of our colleagues when they come in the best, worst, and weirdest of the week and the range of the interpretation of stories that come in. And so I'm very excited to see yeah. what you have come up with, Dom. So what was the... best story of the week.
A lot of pressure, Kristen. You know, I didn't get the homework assignment
until
this morning.
I was a little late.
All right. So the best. To me, of course, at the Devil's Advocates, Crudy and I talk about the politics. We're mm-hmm. always into the politics. Well, you know, go off into other areas occasionally, but we always come back to politics. And for me, the best story of the day was Donald Trump himself revealing that he had received a target letter from Jack Smith yep. and the DOJ for his role in the insurrection on January 6th, and the freak out that occurred after that to me is the most outstanding story of the week.
Well, was it different than it has been? Because I feel like this has been part of the playbook with the other indictments. He's the one who announces that he's been indicted. He's the one who riles up people who are upset that he's been indicted. And then he fundraises.
And that's exactly
yeah.
what I was going to
so
say.
So it's like, yeah. what, was this any different? Because I have to be totally honest, and I know it's important, and Jane and I have talked about this. As you guys talk about this all the time yeah. with Trump. And like for me with this show, because I try to find things that have like a new angle or like you can say something new about it with new information. And the Trump stuff, and I'm not saying it's not important, just feels like a hamster wheel.
Same thing over and over and over.
Same thing
over.
It's like, what new question am I going to ask the audience that is going to elicit any thought-provoking, different opinion? Because we just keep doing this until something's going to be finally settled. So, sure. like, for you this week, was this different
well, yeah,
than it's
it,
been?
It was, because specifically the January 6th insurrection charge. This has been a big okay. focal point for us. I mean, like, we witnessed the attempt to overthrow the
totally.
Government, right? And there's been very little with the short of the, you know, the Proud Boys and the Oath Keepers and those that got caught up in the moment and a few real estate agents
the
and
plebeians.
A couple of politicians and some former Marines. You know, the upper echelon of that plot has not really been flushed out, right? Yeah. So I think there's progress there. And that's the encouraging part to me because, I mean, this has been a couple of years now. You know what I'm saying? And lots of other people have been prosecuted. Hell, they're still picking up some of the rioters, like, now. There's still people out there. So, yes. The consistency. Trump's going to cry. Trump is Trump. Trump's going to be Trump. The reaction that the mega Republicans are going to react as the mega Republicans react. But when the topics change from the documents case, you know, the security. I mean, that's a big deal too. And now we're finally getting this addressed. I mean, this should have happened a year ago, you know, at a minimum. So it's relieving to know that this is starting
it's
to flow
moving
through.
Forward.
So you're right in the sense it feels like deja vu. It's like Groundhog's Day, you know. But that is because the Republicans react the same every single time. Oh, this is weaponization. And talk about weaponization of the government. Well, what did Donald Trump do? Mm-hmm. He turned the DOJ. He went after Lisa Strzok and Page. You know, the lovers. I mean, he tried to use the IRS to do audits on folks. I mean, so he knows about the weaponization of government. He actually encouraged it. So when they come out and say, hey, you know, the liberal FBI, you know what I'm saying? There's a bunch of hippies over at the FBI. Are you kidding me? why are they persecuting Trump? Because Trump keeps breaking the law.
Yeah.
And I would say if this was Obama, if this were Clinton, sure. Oh, yes, absolutely. I'm very consistent in what I want to see as far as, you know, blind justice being pursued. Obviously, to me, the Republicans and the GOP, it's not mega. There is no party of Lincoln anymore. To see their continued fealty to this, and they get lower and lower and lower. I mean, the party of personal responsibility, you know what I'm saying? Fiscal responsibility. Yeah, come on. Not at all. Family values, you know what I mean?
Small government.
Limited government, right? Let's talk about government forced birthing, you know what I mean? I mean, who does that? Who's in for that? Well, it's the megas. So when we see Donald Trump freaking out, and remember, on Sunday, he tweeted out, I don't know if you remember this, but he on his Truthy Social.
I was going to say, did he tweet it out,
Truthy Social? It was on Truthy Social, and he had to delete it and re-socially it because he talked about referencing an Insurrection Act instead of the Espionage Act. So he knew on Sunday, and he waited a couple of days to get their story out, and da 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 da. So, and it's very similar to his reaction to on the documents case as well.
Of
so,
course.
That's encouraging. I'm loving that part of it, it's comedy and tragedy. You know what I'm saying? Because wow, what a crap show! And these guys are idiots, and this is awesome to see this go down. But of course, this is our government. This is us. This is a reflection of us. I mean, this is we get the government we deserve, and we overran our own capital. We as a country, because we as a country, as the megas believed in this big lie and this continued conspiracy. And let me throw another one out there, if I may. Dana Nessel, the AG from Michigan, stepping up and charging 16 fraudulent electors. Josh Cole. that's also
he's been
to
pretty
me,
quiet this week.
Yeah, he has
he's
been.
He's been pretty quiet this week.
Again, you know, further because as the. We talk about these individual parts of the bigger piece and taken alone individually. Whatever. But no, this was a plan. This was sounds like a conspiracy theorist, but this was a conspiracy to, you know, prevent the peaceful transfer of power to keep a guy who lost in power. I don't know what is more detrimental to a representative of a federal republic, however you want to describe this country, than someone who lost trying to use the forces of the own government to stay in power. I mean, that seems to me like, I don't know, King George kind of stuff.
Our guest is Dominic Salvia from Devil's Advocates. You can catch them every weekday from 4 to 6 p.m. And I just wanted to throw in, you were mentioning the documents case. Judge Eileen Cannon did schedule the trial to begin in May of next year, May 2024.
Yeah. Which is maybe a good segue, because what is your worst story of the week, Dom?
Well, it just came out today, and that's pretty bad. I'd like to see a more speedy trial. I think the country deserves that. Hell, Trump deserves that. So I'm anxious to see how the government reacts to this May of next year trial, because that means anything that happens will conclude after the election. There's other cases, which is good news, but you know, people should know. You know what we should know as voting citizens. you know, who's on the ballot and what they're accused of and what the deal is. And having a trial prior to that, present the evidence to a jury, you know, to the American people, let us decide. Because right now, nobody knows. They don't know. I mean, a lot of Republicans would say, oh, no big deal, no big deal. And Biden this and Hillary that and the server. And like, what if? We don't know. But what if all of a sudden there's a money transfer to Deutsche Bank to one of Trump's corporations, or, you know, there's documentation. They gave information on Khashoggi to the Saudis and, you know, Jared got $2 billion. What is there a paper trail for? Any of the information, any of the document stuff. We don't know any of that stuff. We don't know what we don't know. So the fact that there's enough evidence to bring these charges, and this is not by Biden. This is not by Jack Smith. This is by a jury, a grand jury. And many of those people in the grand jury were Trumpsters. I mean, this is from Florida, man. You know what I mean? And this is in his area. So that to me is good. I mean, even Eileen Cannell, I'm not a fan. If that goes through, I'm still confident that the government has a strong case. And if you're able to get through, regardless of the timeline, with a Trump-appointed judge in a Trump county that leans red with a bunch of Trump supporters on the jury, and he's still found guilty, how are you going to spin that to be a, well, it was a witch hunt? You know what I'm saying?
Well, I'm sure there's some people out there.
Well, they'll still say it.
Oh, sure.
They could say it. Doesn't mean it's
true.
But
yeah, that is something to because we have a very late primary, and that May 24th is even after what our primary will be for the Republican Republican prior, because ours is always in the early April, right?
I think so.
Yeah. All right. With the 3 minutes that we have left, Dom, what was the weirdest story of the
week? Oh, man. Okay. Well, let me go with the worst. Okay. That was the worst. I got two, and they both involve.
You got 3 minutes. Okay. Then I'm cutting you off.
I got it. MTG, Marjorie Taylor Greene.
Oh, yes.
All right. The worst moment, the Hunter Biden junk pics in a congressional hearing.
Yeah.
Totally unnecessary. Terrible. Terrible. The weirdest thing, Marjorie Taylor Greene. Next week, this very same committee, I believe, Comer's committee, is going to investigate and have witnesses on Wednesday, I believe, of the unidentified aerial phenomena. You know, we used to call them UFOs, but it's totally different now.
Totally different.
Yeah, yeah. So don't talk about UFOs. This is wackadoodle. It's UAPs. Marjorie Taylor Greene, she thinks they might be angels, and she did some research into it.
I did not hear this one.
Yeah. So there's that.
There's that.
There's that. That's pretty weird.
That is pretty weird. The UFO thing, I think, is I love that it's now come full circle where there's people who think that there's a reason behind the government now talking more about unidentified objects and UFOs to distract. Like, well, this is just the distraction now. But like before, for so long, the government was keeping this a secret.
Right.
But now that they actually want to tell us more information about it, they're like, well, that's not real. They're just doing that to distract us from the real things.
Right,
like
right.
The real investigations that should be going on. It's like, oh, geez. All right. Well, that was a very good roundup.
Oh, well, why, thank you.
You did your homework well. Sorry to have sprung it on you so late,
that's
Tom.
That's okay. I had to dig deep and study hard.
All right. Well, when we come back, now we'll really put you to the test, because we have an actual quiz that we do every week with headlines from the week. It's multiple choice. It's you versus Jane.
Uh-oh.
You each get three questions, and then there's one quick answer. We'll be back in just a minute. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
It's awfully different without you. Don't get around much anymore.
From the home of the Cranberry Blossom Festival, your news talk and sports station is locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Starting at 6 a.m., Up North News, 8 to 10, The Earl Ingram Show. Mondays, 8 to 9, Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. 10 to 12, As Goes Wisconsin. At noon, Civic Media Network News. At 12:15, Town Call. 1 to 3, The Todd Alba Show. 3 to 4, Matt Flynn Direct. 4 to 6, The Devil's Advocates with Dom and Crute. And 6 to 7, The Maggie Dawn Show. On 5:40 a.m., WAUK.
The Todd Alba Show.
That's been pretty rough on the Joint Finance Committee. I know what you're going to do.
going to give bipartisan praise that they're going to raise the pay for district attorneys and public defenders, you don't get an attaboy for finally saying, we finally heard people cry uncle enough times. You either govern all the time or not once a decade when it's suddenly convenient. So,
but I think we have to at least give people hope once in a while that there is something happening in Madison that is a little bit on the good side.
The Todd Alba Show, weekday afternoons 1 till 3 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
I have Corrine Hendrickson, part of the Wisconsin Early Childhood Action Needed group.
The Joint Finance Committee, again in the middle of the night, took that out and said, well, hey, you have all this money coming from the federal government. Why don't you use that to create this program? Well, guess what? We proved it worked. Wages went up $2 an hour. There actually are a couple extra childcare businesses open now than there were about a year ago. And that's going to stop. Just Monday, we lost two.
Weekday morning, 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Mainly clear skies overnight with lows around 61. Westerly winds around 5 miles an hour. Partly cloudy tomorrow. High temperatures reach up to 87. Partly cloudy skies again tomorrow night. Scattered thunderstorms likely, 64. Partly cloudy Tuesday with a high of 89. 91 chance for scattered storms Wednesday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Hyatt. Currently, it's 61 degrees.
This summer, 540 AM WAUK has a new lineup starting at 6 AM. Up North News, 8 to 10, The Earl Ingram Show on 540 AM WAUK.
Hey, John.
Yes, sir.
Come on, let's have a drink.
Yes, sir.
It's 2:45. There's no one in the place except you and me.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Matinere. And we are here with Dom Salvia of the Devil's Advocates, who is our guest for our Civic Media crossover on Fridays. And do you know why Jane keeps playing Tony Bennett songs?
I know he passed away. I don't know.
96.
96. That's quite the run.
That's a hell of a run, man.
And I just read that he's like one of the only artists in history to have hits from the 50s. All the way into the aughts.
Wow.
That's incredible. It's he was performing well up until the end.
Oh, yeah.
His special that he did with Lady Gaga was, what, 2 years ago, 3 years ago?
Well, he's had Alzheimer's for 7.
But I think he certainly was still performing despite having Alzheimer's.
Right. But what an incredible talent. What a wonderful life.
Yeah, absolutely. So much fun. And honestly, you know, I'm more of a metalhead, so I appreciate the thought of Tony Bennett more than, but I remember, you know, growing up and my parents and grandparents, you know, listening to all of this, all the Italians, you know, they love this
stuff. Of course. Yeah. I was going to say, the Italian connection is strong.
Big time.
All right. Well, I also realized I forgot to add Wisconsin questions to this, so we're going to have a five-question quiz this week, which is fine. And if I can come up with one on the spot, maybe we'll do it, because this is clearly a very serious quiz.
Oh, yes.
It was very high stakes.
A lot on the line here, Dom.
So basically, we go through, there's multiple choice questions of headlines from this week, so maybe some more obscure.
Do I need a pencil?
You do not need a pencil.
There's a worksheet where you can work out the calculation.
And because you're the guest, you get to decide if you want to go first or second.
I will go second. I'll defer to Jane.
All right.
Okay.
Jane, ahead of the World Cup, many women's soccer players have been afflicted by which injury? A, a sprained ankle. B, concussion. C, ACL tear. 4, turf toe.
I'll go with C.
Ding, ding, ding.
Really?
You got it right. ACL.
That was a complete guess.
I like how that you've added some sound effects.
It only took me a year.
Can I get an Ooga
horn,
please?
We'll come back to that in a second. All right, Dominic.
Yes.
GOP presidential hopeful North Dakota Governor Doug Burgum is using which gimmick to try and get enough donations to secure a spot on the debate stage? Is it A, raffling off front row tickets to Messi's first Inter-Miami game? B, giving backers a 10% cut of the donations they bring in? C, offering a chance to win a personal shout-out from the debate stage? Or D, handing donors $20 gift cards?
$20 gift cards.
It is indeed.
Yeah,
is that legal?
That sounds... No. That sounds not legal.
Like electioneering, doesn't
Absolutely.
It?
Absolutely.
Well, there's.
I guess it's just donations. It's not votes.
Right. It's not votes. So you can do what you want. All you got to do, because you got to get on the stage, right? That's what.
Yeah, you got to get enough donations to get on the stage. But that is.
That sounds really on the line there.
It also feels like if you can't get the reason that the barrier to entry is there is to prove that you have enough support.
Or money to be
legitimate.
And if you got enough money, you can get the support. You can buy your support, literally.
Yeah, and so the fact that it feels like this is not a good start for you, Doug.
Well, and it sounds very apropos to the GOP mega. I mean, that's how they do it, right? It's capitalism.
Yeah, because I feel like when the Senate race last year, Stephen Alacara, he like by the skin of his teeth got enough. Whatever the barrier to entry was, like at the last minute
to get on,
got on the stage, and he did a great job.
He did.
All right, number three, Jane. Which university announced this week that it will end legacy admissions? Is it A, Vanderbilt, B, Wesleyan, C, Columbia, D, Notre Dame?
It is Vanderbilt.
It is not.
Oh, rats!
It's Wesleyan.
Ah.
All right.
I was so confident.
You were really confident.
Rats.
How are rich white kids going to get into school now, man?
They still got tutors. They still got SAT prep classes. They'll be fine.
They're going to go by the content of their character, I guess.
Absolutely. All right, Dom. A North Carolina teen was allegedly detained for buying a multi-stop airline ticket with no intention of using both segments. What's this money-saving hack called? So do you know
what you're saying. Yeah.
So is it A, trip bagging, B, stop flagging, Z, zigzagging, or D, skip lagging?
Oh, jeez.
Oh, D.
Good job.
Yeah, right.
It is D.
Yes, I was
not aware. There's actually a website. I think it's like skiplagging.com that multiple airlines have sued because it helps you navigate like where you actually want to go, and it will find you a two-way flight or a flight that has a layover in that city. But they've been sued, and one they settled, and one got dismissed.
Wow!
But there's like,
who cares if they're buying the ticket? You don't use it on the way back. I mean, why do
money,
they care?
Baby?
Oh, come on!
Dom is leading 2-1.
Oh, pressure's on, Jane.
I know.
Okay, if you tie this, then I have an idea for the last question. But all right, Jane. SAG-AFTRA issued a new warning to which performers that they would be ineligible for future membership if they work during the current strike. Voice actors, influencers, stand-up comedians, reality TV stars.
I think it's reality TV.
It's actually influencers.
Rats! Boy, I suck today.
You don't suck. Don't stop talking about my friend like that. But it is influencers. It's basically, and I know this because I spent enough of my life on TikTok.
Right.
There's a lot of people who make the living helping to promote movies.
Sure.
And they're not performers. But a lot of them, I think, eventually would like to be in SAG or something like, or writers or in the WGA. And that's been a big topic on TikTok this week as far as are you a scab if you continue to have like brand deals, and pretty much the SAG came out and said yes. Like if you ever want to be part of this union,
are
do
the
not
influencers
do this.
Now are they already part of the union, or are these influencers that are not part,
they're
of, the
not
union
part
that
of the union
at some point in the future may want to be?
Yeah, I think it's like potentially want to be, but also just like, it's like it's still a business of relationships. Yeah. And if on the other side of this, but yeah, the conversation around if you do anything to help promote movies for struck companies, you are a scab.
All
right. Simple. All right. Well, you're down 2-1.
I know. This is not
3-1. Did you get two right?
I got two. Yes.
You got one right?
I got one right.
All right. I'm going to come up with one on the spot and we'll just do.
Because we got a minute left.
All right. Minute left. How much did Ron Johnson getting paid back for his own money?
It was $480,000.
Yeah, $400,000 is what I recall.
I think it was $400,000. Yeah, you're both right.
Okay, sure.
Well, that's what we know of, and that's the start. We'll see. He put a lot of money in. He's got a lot of money coming back.
He's got a lot of money.
He already got the money, and then he came out with a statement like, I'm not expecting to get anything. After he already cashed the check like 2 weeks before. I mean, come on, Ron.
All right. Well, Dom, this is as fun as I thought it would be.
Oh,
thank you so much for coming in.
My pleasure.
It's so fun to
thank
always
you
have you here.
Me.
I'm sure when I'm on maternity leave, Jane may call you in to, as backup once
for
or twice
sure.
to have some fun with
Jane,
her.
I'm here for you, girl.
All right. Well, we're going to take a break. When we come back, Professor Greg Nemeth is going to be here to talk about policies to influence us to buy electric cars. And I actually am thinking about if I should make the jump, but it's also a jump in price. So finding the justification of that. All right. Stick around. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
The clothes.
You don't know me well.
Childhood should be the happiest time of life. But for many children living in poverty with blindness, facial deformities, and other crippling conditions, it's riddled with pain, rejection, shame, and isolation. At Mercy Ships, we're answering the cries of some of the world's most forgotten children and adults through free, life-changing surgeries, surgeries that turn despair into hope. These once heartbroken boys and girls, and many men and women too, are now restored, accepted, and on their way to a life of opportunity and joy. No one can change the world on their own, but together we can transform it by restoring hope to one person, one child at a time. Volunteers from your community and around the globe are bringing life-changing healing and hope to the forgotten poor. To learn how you too can help change the world, one child at a time, go to mercyships.org today.
WFHR Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.